Okay, we are continuing our discussion of the letters of the Aleph Beis. We are up to the letter Resh. We're coming down to the end. We only have three more letters left. Okay, so let's discuss a few ideas relating to the letter Resh. In the Gemara, the Gemara's letter Resh refers to the Rasha. Pretty scary. Okay, the Resh is the Rasha, and the Gemara, the Rasha is next to Kuf. And Kuf represents Kadosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Chazal, and Hashem says, I cannot tolerate to look at the Rasha. And that's why Hashem says to the Rasha, Rasha, point in the opposite direction. So first comes the Kuf, then comes the Resh. The Resh is looking in that direction. Notice, very interesting, notice Hashem does not say, I'm not going to look. You turn around because I do not want to be mistaken in the punim of a Rasha. But Hashem says, if you do tshuva, I'll gladly take you back. And that's why the kuf, the leg is suspended. Really the kuf, the leg of the kuf, of Kadosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should really go all the way to the top. That part should go, but Hashem, you know, I'm gonna suspend it. I'm gonna make a little opening so that in case you want to do tshuva, you can go through the opening and you can come in within me. You can do tshuva, and not only that, I will give you a crown. There's a crown on top of the kuf, and that crown will be yours. So we have to a certain degree this idea that the resh represents the concept of a rasha. I came across something very interesting. How do you spell resh? Resh yud shin. What happens when you reverse the letters? When you reverse the letters, shin yud resh shir. So resh backwards is shir, is a song. Last week, 2 weeks ago, was Parshas B'shalach the Shira. There's a very popular Chazal. Many people have been saying it over, being that it was Parshas B'shalach and Parshas Shira. That if a person says the Shira with all of his might, with full kavana, Hashem forgives all of your sins. It's hard to understand what that means, and this is true every single day. Every single day we recite Oz Yashir. If a person will recite Oz Yashir with kavana, Hashem forgives one for all of his sins. And the question is why? Why is it so easy? Why should it be that saying Shira you are forgiven? So I don't really have any reason why it's true, but I think it's a very beautiful idea. I mentioned this to you when we learned about the Shira, why it is so. Where it comes from. It comes from Shiras Devorah. It doesn't come from Shiras Moshe, from Shiras Devorah, because Shiras Devorah is sandwiched in between two psukim. Before Shiras Devorah begins, it says, Vayosifu b'nei Yisrael la'asoy sara b'nei Hashem. They continued to do evil in the eyes of Hashem. After the Shiras Devorah, the end of Shiras Devorah, it says, "Vayas b'nei Yisrael hara b'nei Hashem." They did evil. They did evil. So the question is just the opposite. If before the Shira they continue to do evil, then certainly the Shira, when they do averos after the Shira was over, it should say "Vayosifu." They continue to do evil. Why does it say now all of a sudden a fresh break? "Vayas hara b'nei Hashem." So the answer given is because once they sang Shira, Devorah led B'nai Yisrael to sing Shira, Hashem forgave them for all of their sins. So now it was a fresh start, a new slate. It started all over again. So you see this idea that when a person does Shira, before it says Vayosifu, and afterwards it says Vayas, why does it say Vayas and not Vayosifu when the Shira is over? The answer is, when they sang Shira, Hashem forgave them for all of their sins. So now when they did Averos, after they sang Shira, it was a new beginning. A new beginning, that's why it says Vayas. So but one thing you see from here, this idea that when a person gives Shira HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it humbles him. It humbles him, it's a process of tshuva, and it leads to a certain degree of forgiveness. The Rasha, the way the Rasha, the wicked man, can go about making a tikkun is to focus on praising Hashem. By praising Hashem, it is a humbling experience which will awaken him to do tshuva. So the Rasha, backwards, if he wants to reverse his path in life, Resh, you go backwards, you get Shir, and that will fulfill this memory of Oz Yashir, this idea of doing tshuva. Okay, let's go to another idea. And okay, another short idea. Naso es Rosh. This is a cute little idea. Hashem says to Parshas Naso to count. Nasoes Rosh. Rosh, the letters that follow Rosh are Shabbos. What comes after? Naso means to lift up. Lift up means lift up. S means tofel, what is adjacent. Naso es Rosh. Lift up the letters that are adjacent to the word Rosh. What is Rosh? What comes after Resh? Shin. What comes after Aleph? Base. What comes after Shin? Tuf. Those three letters spell Shabbos. So we see here that there is an association of Rosh and Shabbos. Shabbos is the most choshev of the days of the week. Shabbos is the Rosh. Everything that we do in our life, we have to have in mind that we are approaching Shabbos. Shabbos has many different meanings. Shabbos of the week, the Shabbos of Ve'in Olam Haba. That's where we are all heading to. And this concept of what is Resh. Resh also represents the idea of the head, of what is significant, what is important, what is on top, what is significant is what comes next. And that is the concept of Shabbat. That was a short idea. Tzedakah, the Resh represents the numerical value of the letter Resh is 200. And the number 200 is significant. It's going to throw out some raw ideas, and I'll tell you one something I find to be a little bit more significant. But the number 200 in halach has many applications. For example, when you got married, how much money did you promise your wife in the ksuba? 200 zuz. And then, no, that's minat Torah, 200 zuz. And then, umoysef lemindilei, oid kesef zukugin mosayim. In addition to promising your wife 200 minat Torah, you added midrabbanan another 200 coins. So you see, the number 200 is a very significant number when it comes to marriage. That's the amount of money a person promises what? And why is number 200 coins significant? Because Chazal seemed to learn that that's how much money was needed in ancient times. It's true today as well, because it's a matter of silver, how much a person needs to support himself for 1 year. Time of Chazal, the reason why a man gives a woman a ksuba of 200 zuz in case of death or divorce, she should have 1 year to get herself back on her feet. And that 1 year, you provide for a parnasa for 1 year. So this is the significance of the number 200. It's the amount of money a person needs to support himself for 1 year. Another example of this idea is a tzedakah. The Gemara says that a person is not allowed to take tzedakah if he has in his bank account 200 zuz. If he has in his bank account 199 zuz, then he can take tzedakah. He can even take a lot of money. He can even take 100 zuz. But the person does not qualify as being poor unless he has less than 200. Why? Because 200 zuz is the amount of money a person needs to support himself for 1 year. If you don't have pas besale for 1 year, you're worried. You don't have yishuv hadas, you're begeder poor, and you are eligible to receive tzedakah. Where else do we have the concept of 200 in halacha? Bittul by kilayim and orla. When it comes to bittul, let's say you have a mixture of mutter v'heter v'heter v'iser. So sometimes the sheer bittul is rof, two against one. If something has a flavor, what's the sheer for bittul? 60. Let's say you have an object which is sacred, which belongs to the Beis Hamikdash. What is the sheer of bittul? 100 to 1. And what about if you have kilayim? And or kalayim, two different types of seeds which grow together, or orlo, or fruit that grows the first 3 years, what is the share of bittul? 200 to 1. So in the rules of bittul, 200 is the extreme level of bittul, of something losing its identity. If you have 200 times more kalayim or orlo than the part 200 times more of thing that's permissible than the klayim and the arla, then the klayim and the arla can become batal. That is the extreme level of bittul in Chazal. Okay, that's just another idea. Let's go to another idea of a rasha. The Reish represents the word rasha. So I saw this cute little vart is that why do people become wicked? The three letters. The Reish are the raglayim. They go to places they shouldn't be. Don't go, don't krich. where you don't belong. When you go to a place where you don't belong, you could be under the influence of the other people there, and you can start doing terrible things. Shin, the shinayim, you eat, you enjoy foods that you're not supposed to enjoy. Timtum halev, and the last and most important is the ayin, to see. You look at things that you're not supposed to be looking at. These are the three things which cause a person to become wicked: the raglayim, the shinayim, and the einayim. That's a cute little var that I thought that was a little interesting. Okay, now the letter resh is significant in that its numerical value is by far the largest from all of the other letters of the aleph bet. Resh, the gematria of resh yud saf is 500. And shem sorry, resh Resh, Yud, Shin is 300, 510. Shin is 300, Resh 200, Yud is 10, is 510. By far, it is the largest number, even though it's not the largest letter in the Aleph Beis. The largest letter in the Aleph Beis is tough, obviously. Two more letters down the road, but its numerical value of the small spelling is the largest number. Resh means poor. Resh, lashon of rush. Rush means poor, and resh means also to possess. Alei rush. Moshe said to Klal Yisrael, go up and take possession of the land. So in its meaning, it has these two meanings. I'll tell you a joke. A lie, something very light. I was in yeshiva. So, every yeshiva, there's a rosh ha-yeshiva. And I assume that sometimes people get tired of saying Rosh HaYeshiva, Rosh Shiva. So they call the person by different names. They call him by his first name, by his last name, whatever, different cuss. In this yeshiva where I was, they called him the Rosh. Called the Rosh. Everyone says the Rosh. The Rosh is giving shir. The Rosh is giving a maimer. The Rosh is doing this. The Rosh is doing that. The Rosh did this. The Rosh went to this one's wedding. He didn't come today. The Rosh, the Rosh, the Rosh, the Rosh. Okay, the Rosh. One day I'm sitting there. It's about 3, about, I don't know, leaving the second Seder, about 3 o'clock. Guy comes in, and he starts telling me that the Rosh, I thought he said the Rosh said this. I said, what? He said this. I didn't pay much attention. He comes in the next day. It's a true story. The Rosh said this. The Rosh said this. The Rosh said this. I said, what? I think to myself. First time I thought, okay, he said this. He would say this? Okay, maybe. I don't know. I didn't know he was so into politics, the Rosh. He comments on Clinton and comments on this. And then one day he got into a war of a discussion. He starts telling me about what the Rosh said. About all the different things of the politics. And I said, what are you talking about? He would comment. He's busy with these things. So after a give and take of a long time, he explained to me, I'm not talking about the Rosh. I'm talking about Rosh Limbaugh. Rush. This is the first I ever heard of Rush Limbaugh. Since then, I listened, unfortunately, too much to Rush Limbaugh. But it's a joke, okay? Rush. Then I understood it. It was like right after, you know, he goes from 12 to 3. So he's fresh in his mind. He goes for lunch and he tells him, the Rush said this, the Rush said that. I thought he was telling me what the Rush. What? The Rosh is busy with Clinton. This. What is that?
A friend of mine called me Rabbeinu Tam the Rat.
Rabbeinu Tam, Rat, the Rat. All right. Got hit by the Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, but this Rosh means the poor, and Rosh means to take possession. He's one of the richest men in America, Rush Limbaugh. There was a big write-up on him in the New York Times magazine section, the whole article with his fancy cigars. He's worth a hoinrav. But his name is Rush. And Rush means poor. Ein anius ella bedas. Chazal say poverty is only in the mind. It's not a material. I'm not trying to. I have nothing against him. He's pretty pro Israel. I've heard him once live say some terrible, make terrible insults of Orthodox Jews. A guy, an Orthodox Jew, called in and he said some very, very disturbing things. So I don't really know where he holds. I'm not a big listener, a big fan. But Haloy Davar, he's one of the biggest personalities in America. Huh? Can't deny that. He's a big player in America. Rush Limbaugh. And his name is Rush. And Rush is poor. Poor. And Chazal say, Ein Anius Ella Bedas. Is it applicable to him? I don't know. I'm not Bucky in his. He seems to be very pro Eretz Yisrael and very, very, very in line his hashkafa with a lot of people who are Orthodox Jews. So I have nothing bad to say. Chas v'shalom, not to comment. But interesting. I always think about that. Rosh. It means take possession. Take possession, and it means pour in Chazal. Okay. Now, I don't have to go tell you about the Rosh. In the Haggadah, we have the Rasha. The Rasha says, Rasha, Haki Ashinov. I've yet to hear a good pshat when it means Haki Ashinov. Why you knock out his teeth? The Rasha says, because he says, Lochem lo, ilu hayashim lo hayinigol. And what do you do to the Rasha? Haki Ashinov. I don't know. I don't have a good shot. I could tell you all the nice gematrias and all these different perushim, but I'm still in searching for something that really is satisfying. Why you knock out the teeth of the Rasha? But one important point I want to make is that what's the difference? This is a very common question. What is the difference between the Rasha and the Chacham? They both seemingly say the same thing. Mo ha'avoida hazos lochem. So why does the Rasha lose his teeth, and why is the Chacham praised as being the good son? So the answer, the most basic answer, which is a very important answer, which has major ramifications in dealing with people, is the way they ask the question. The Chacham says, ki yish olcha vincha mochar lemar mo ha'avoda hazos lochem. It's a she'ela. It's a question. The word she'ela has a connotation. I want an answer. Ki yish olcha. The Rasha says, ki yoimru aleichem b'neichem. They will say. They don't want to ask. They don't want an answer. They're telling you, Mo ha'avoida hazos lochem. It's not a question. It's a statement. What is this nonsense? What are you doing? So when a person, you can say exactly the same words, but when you sincerely want to know an answer, you're a chacham. When you're not saying it to ask the question, to get an answer, you're saying it to mock and to make what's on us in the question, then that defines one as being a rasha. So this is very critical in understanding the letter resh. The letter resh represents the concept of a rasha. The rasha, the words that come out of his mouth are almost identical to the words that come out of the mouth of the chacham. What makes a person a rasha? The yisod in life is how you say it. If it's ki yoimru, I'm telling you, I'm not a listener. That's a rasha. A chacham, a tzaddik, is a person that is willing to engage, dialogue, to listen, has respect. There is understanding. That is a chacham. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, this idea is a little cute idea. I found this to be very pleasing. There are three letters that are next to each other. First comes the tzadi, then comes the kof, and then comes the resh. The tzadi is the tzadik. In fact, that's how we've all been taught. We've been taught to pronounce it not tzadi, but tzadik. Mr. Marillis, how do they teach you to say the letter tzadi?
Tzadik.
Tzadik, right? That's how they were taught. We had a whole discussion about this. Everyone was taught to say tzadik, mm-hmm. Not tzadi. And the resh, the Gemara explicitly says, refers to the rasha. What's in between the tzadi and the resh? The kuf. What is the kuf? How is the kuf differentiated between the tzadik on one side and the resh, the rasha, on the other side? It's a pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk says, "V'chol karnei rishoyim agadeya." I will cut down the horns of the wicked. Horn in this context means the pride, the arrogance. Tiroimamna, I will elevate the karnos tzaddik, the horn of the tzaddik. The difference between the tzaddik and the rasha is the kuf in between. The horn, the pride, arrogance. Arrogance and humility. That if a person who's arrogant, arrogance differentiates a tzaddik and a rasha. It's pasuk in Tehillim. And you see that in the letters of the alphabet, the kuf is keren. It differentiates between the tzaddik and the resh, which clearly is the tzaddik and the rasha. And the pasuk makes it very clear that what's the keren? The karnei reshom agadeya tereimamna karnos tzaddik. Okay, we learned letter Dal, we spoke about this at great level. I'm not going to repeat just a few things which I did not mention then, is that there are two letters in the Aleph Beis. There is a Dalid and a Resh that are very large. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The Dalet of Echad is very large. And then we have a pasuk in the Lo Yeluch Lo Sishtachave Le'el Acher. Do not bow down to another god. Acher, the resh of Acher is very large. Why are these two letters very large? So the simplest reason given is not to make a mistake and interchange. If you write Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Acher, Chas v'shalom, that's kfira. That's the greatest topic course. If you write kilos tishtachavel el echod, it's ultimate kfira. So in order not to make a mistake between the dalet and the resh, between these two psukim, you have to be very careful to write a very large dalet for echod and a very large resh for los tishtachavel el acher. These two psukim represent the first two dibros of the luchos. The first dibra is Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that's Hashem echod, and the second dibur is Lo Yilcha Elohim Acherim, that's El Acher. When Klal Yisrael worshipped the eagle, what did they do? They violated these two dibros. They exchanged the echod for the acher. That's why Hashem said to Moshe, Lech Raid, descend, go down. They're worshipping idols. Why did Hashem tell Moshe with the word raid? Raid is reish dalet. Descend. That take those two letters, which I've put in the Torah, the two large letters, echod and acher, they're large. They're large for a purpose. Make sure you know, have that distinction. Klal Yisrael doesn't know that distinction. Look what they're doing. They're worshipping the eagle. They're worshipping the el acher, and they're ignoring the kel echod, Hashem echod. Therefore, raid, the reish and the dal that has been large, diminish. There's no purpose in it being large. They violated the first two dibros. Therefore, Hashem used this expression raid in reference to those two letters and the first two dibros. We have another idea where it says that the corner of the letter is the difference between a dal and a reish, a teeny little dot. The dalet is round at the corner, and the dalet is square at the corner, and the resh is round at the corner. So the pasuk that says kitzoisoisav taltalim, your corners kitzoisoisav taltalim are mounds. The word kitzoisoisav refers to this dalet on the resh. The dalet is the corner of the resh. Has a little dot. That's the corner. That's the kitzoisav. If you take away that little corner and you turn the word echod into acher, then tal. The word tal means a chorbin. The hoysa tel olam. So this pasuk of kitzoisav tal is interpreted to mean that if you take the dalet of echod and you leave out that little corner, you can make from this world into a chorban, into a tal Hashem, instead of it being Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echod, you make it into Hashem Acher. Okay, now let me tell you a word which I find to be very profound. This is very profound. What is the significance of the letter? Now, it's definitely very cold here. The air conditioner on?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know how to turn it off. I don't know how to turn it off. I have to speak to Dr. Friedman. It's freezing here. Okay, so a few more minutes. I'm almost finished. Let's do a few more minutes. This I find to be a very profound idea. The number Reish represents the number 200. It's a very important pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, which really brings out a very deep idea relating to the letter Reish. The letter Reish pasuk here is Lebnei Yisachar, describing different number of people in Klal Yisrael from the children of Yisachar, Yoidei Vina, those who know understanding, Lo'itim the times, Ladas Mayase Yisrael, the children of Yisachar who know understanding of the times, Ladas, they know Mayase Yisrael, Roshehem Mosayim. They're 200 leaders. We find here in this pasuk in Divrei Hayam, the number 200 is associated with Shevet Yisachar. Yisachar, we all know, they are Yisachar Chamo Garem. They were the Talmidei Chacham of Klal Yisrael. From Shevet Yisachar came all the big Rashi HaYeshiva. They excelled in Limud HaTorah. Not that they were not Talmidei Chacham, other Shabbatim, but they excelled in Torah. And they are the leaders of Klal Yisrael. They have understanding of Mayaseh Yisrael, guidance of what Klal Yisrael should do, how they should conduct themselves. How many of them are there? 200 liters. Yisachar captures the essence of the letter Resh. What is the significance of this idea? So I believe the idea is as follows. There's, when we go to the letters of the hundreds, we're taking a quantum leap from the tens. The letter Resh has to relate to the letter Chaf. And the letter Chaf has to relate to the letter Beis. Beis is the second letter of the digits. And Chaf is the second letter of the tens. And Resh is the second letter of the hundreds. So these three letters definitely are related one to another. And in fact, Bechor. What is the Bechor? Bechor is the firstborn. Bechor gets a double portion. Why is a Bechor called a Bechor? Because it has the three double letters. The Beis, the Chaf, and the Resh. Bechor gets Pi Shnayim. Bechor is the first. He gets a double portion. And therefore, the way we signify that he gets double portion is because the letters of Bechor is Beis, Chaf, Resh. He is the double. He's called the double because he's also the second generation. Person as a child, the firstborn child, is now the second to the next generation. Okay, but let's. I want to focus only on the Chaf. The Gemara says, what does the Chaf stand for? The Gemara Masech the Shabbos, always the Ikka. When you come to define the letter in the Aleph Beis, the Gemara Chaf says the Chaf represents the concept of Keser, a crown. Who wears the Keser? A king. A king wears a crown. Malchus, right? So Chaf to a certain degree represents Malchus. Now, is there something called a Melech without a nation? I'll be Purim, I'll go home, I'll buy a crown, in Hocus Pocus, whatever the store is called, I'll sit at home, put on a crown on my head. So who am I a king for? No one. Right? No, not even myself. You put on a, you want to masquerade? Because unto hate, put on a crown, you can masquerade. There is a principle called Ein Melech B'loy Am. If you want to masquerade as a king, you have to have followers. Correct? You have to have someone to listen to you. Ein Melech B'loy Am. What is the gematria of the word Melech? Mem Lamed Chaf. 110. Right? 110. Mem is 40.
90.
I'm sorry.
90.
I'm sorry, 90. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, 90. What am I saying? 90. Mem is 40, Lamed is 30, 70, and Chaf is 20, 90. What is Am? A nation. Am. What's the gematria of Am? Gematria of Am? 110. Am, I 70, and 40, 110. What is the combination of 110 and 90?
200.
Chaf. Remember, these letters are related. Beis, Chaf, and Resh. Beis means two. It's not. I'm not alone. There's more than this. There's a give and take. There's interaction. Chaf represents double, but also represents Malchus Keser. Resh is the quantum leap. You're not just a Melech. You're a Melech over someone. You have, it represents the full beauty, the full majesty of Malchus. I'm a Melech, and I have followers. Sometimes they have very, very big Talmidei Chacham, they're not a yeshiva. They have three, four boys in the whole yeshiva. Then you could have a dictator, a Meshugana, and he has millions of people. Malchus, we have a Choshev, a leader, someone that's deserving of the Keser, and you have someone that's listening to you. You have a real Malchus. That is the letter Resh. Resh is the it's related to Chaf, Keser. It also represents give and take. There are two parties. It's a ruler, there's a ruler, and there's a follower. There's a ruler and a follower. Resh is the combination Melech and Am. The Malchus with the people. That's why Yisachar has 200. Because Yisachar represents true Malchus. What do you mean true Malchus? Man Malke Rabbana. Who are the ultimate kings? The Rabbana. That's what Chazal Gemara. Yeah, today, unfortunately, you know, we're not on a level where we can really appreciate what, but we all know there is truth that what should be. We know we all have that sensitivity, the Torah, the guidance of Torah. Man Malke Rabbanon. Ideally, the Rabbanon, real Yorei Shamayim, real Talmidei Chacham, are the real kings. And what do? The pasuk explicitly says an unbelievable pasuk. What was the role of Yisachar? Well, b'nei Yisachar, yoydei vina lo'itim. They understood understanding of the times, which simply look at Rashi and Mefarshim means the moon, the sun, to make Ibra Hashanah. But it means more than that. It means every generation has nisyonos, has issues. Issues of this generation, not the issues of the previous generation. And these have to be dealt with. And you need, there's a desperate need for leadership, which unfortunately we all know there's a very great lack of. Yoidei Vino, ideally it is Yisachar's role to take up this role of leadership through the Karech of Torah. Yoidei Vino Litim, Lodahas Mayase Yisrael. What Klal Yisrael should do. How they should deal with the issues. How many? Rosh Shehem Mosayim. It's an incredibly deep idea of what 200 is. It's true Malchus. It's a Melech with an Am. And not just a Melech that rules, just, you know, doesn't know what he's doing. A Melech that rules with Ruach HaKodesh, with Torah. The Madrega of what Torah should be. Okay, without telling, again, I'm not trying to say anything big, Chas Hashem, about our generation, but I'm saying the real deal is Manalke Rabbanon, the Koach of Yisachar, of to be true Torah, true Talmidei Chachamim. They have the Koach to rule. And you look at all the Mefarshim, you'll see this, so you bring it down. There's give and take between Ladas, the Pasuk really says it all. Ma Yaseh Yisrael. And all this fits perfectly with the Beis, the Chof, and the Reish. These three letters, the cross-reference, there's a give and take. The two partners that represents Kesar Malchus, and the Malchus is the Melech with the Am. So these three letters, indeed, they go together. I find that to be a very fascinating, deep idea. The Shoroshim of this idea can be found in Yitzchak Ginsburg Sefer on the Hebrew letters that we discussed, we mentioned many times. Now, let me tell you something that's incredibly fascinating, very short. First of all, in the Megillah, are you familiar with this? Parshan Das has a small resh, is that correct? I didn't get a chance to look it up. It's a small resh. Different, there are different traditions.
What is a shin?
A small shin, a large shin. Okay, there are different traditions. Small shin, there are different traditions. I don't remember either, but there are different traditions. Some old tradition that's definitely brought down that the resh of the Parshan Das in the Aseres Nehoman is a small resh. Why? I don't really have a good reason. But this is something which is incredibly interesting. And requires a lot of study. I don't know the answer to what I'm about to present you. All I want to tell you is that today there is a lot of svarim coming out on Targum. Not a lot. People today, you know, they're looking for new things to learn, to study, you know, to write svarim on. People are very desperate to write svarim. And Targum Yonasan ben Uziel is a fascinating Targum. Targum are very, very insightful. There's an incredible amount of depth and in the Yesodos in Targum Unkelis, Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, and Targum Yerusham. Those are the three primary Targumim.
What's the word Targum in translation?
Yeah. It means translation. Targum means translation. It means
commentary.
Elucidation. I don't know. I may be right. Maybe it means more than elucidation. The Targum Unkelus and Yonasan ben Uziel and the Yerushalmi are not translations. They're more of an expansion of the deeper meaning. A lot of the machlekes between Beishanai, Beis Hillel can be traced to a difference in nuance between the Targum Unkelus and the Targum Yerushalmi. There's a Rabbi Kasher in his Sefer Torah Shlema, he has a massive kuntres going through the significance of the Targum, and he shows how the Targum, in the Targumim you can find all the Machlekes Tanoim. Take a Mishnah, Machlekes in the Mishnah between two Tanoim, go look at the Targum, look at the Pasuk where it comes from, look at the Targum Yerushalmi, look at the Targum Unkel, look at the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. You'll see the way they translate the Pasuk, you'll see a Naftamina, which you can is the root of Machlekes between two Tanoim in the Mishnah. And it cites numerous examples of this concept. Even in a get, there are three words for a get that are written in a get. Those three words of Peturin, the Tachlich, and the three words come from the three Targumim in Unkelus, Yonasan ben Uziel, and Yerushalmi. But the point I want to make is something which is very interesting, and that is one of the famous psukim of the word Acher is the Akedah. The Malach comes to Avram and says, don't touch Yitzchak. right? Don't touch Yitzchak. Ki ato yadati ki yireil ki matu lechasachta spinchas yichidcha sharhafta. I know you, Yerush Shemayim. What happens next? Vayisay no vayar vihine, and behold, ayil acher. There's another ayil. Now, how do you, what does it say? Ayil acher with the resh. We just finished discussing that Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokim Hashem Echod with the Dalet. Lo Sishtacha Vel El Acher. Very different words. And the Echod and Acher were very careful to make a big Dalet and a big Resh. Don't Chas V'Sholom mix up these two letters, because you mix up these two letters, this is the ultimate form of apikorsis. So you would expect that we're always careful, right? We're always very careful that there's an acher and there is an echad. So the ayil, there was a ram, acher. It was another one. It was another one there on the side, acher. The Targum Yonasan ben Uziel translates the word acher as echad. Incredible! You have to look this up inside, and it's a very big mystery. The Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, what? That's Unkelus. You have the Unkelus.
The Unkelus says Achid.
Achid could mean it's other. I'm not sure. I'm not a book. Achid. Say read the whole word. Read the whole Targum.
That's possible. Yeah, that's possible. Hey, Ayel Acher is the pasuk. Behoyad
Dichra.
Basar Achid.
And Achid means things. Achid means another. Achid the thing means another. But he says chada. Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says, look, Avine dichra chada. Chada means one. He translates the word acher as chada. It's a very big mystery what he means. What's going on here? Targum Yonasan ben Uziel is heavy duty stuff. We're dealing with like really serious. This is the Targum. This is like the Targum. Even more so to a certain degree than Unkelus. And what's going on? He translates Acher as Echad? Does that mean that in his version of the Sefer Torah it says Vinei Ayil Echad? Or no, it can't be. It's not the Mesorah. Can't be. So what then is he doing? Big mystery. Requires, today when you go into the Svarim store, they're putting out a lot of good stuff. Good stuff on Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. Pick it up. Take out this pasuk and see what they say about this Targum. It's something which requires further study. Okay, so we're almost finished. Let me just make sure I got everything. I think I got pretty much everything. Just give me half a second to check over. Okay, so this is done. Okay, we have this idea that just to sum up Mori Chazal, that anyone that causes tsar to Klal Yisrael becomes a Rosh. The Nebuchadnezzar became the ruler of the world. He, in fact, when he made the statue, the head was made from gold. He represented the head. Reisha di Dahava, a famous expression by Nebuchadnezzar, the head is gold. And the enemies of Klal Yisrael are always elevated to be very great people, become leaders in the world, so that no one should say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave over his nation to the hand of a lowlife, to a lowly nation. Hashem gave over his nation, he punished them through this Chazal. Call anyone that calls Sarah Klal Yisrael becomes a Rosh. Okay, I'm just about finished. Let me just make sure. Okay, one more thing. This is one more quick thing. I actually took out the chumash for this. Another idea, short idea. That is in Kohel in Shir HaShirim. End of Shir HaShirim, it says, Karmi Sheli Lefonoi. There's a lot of time. Let's just run through the project. My vineyard is before me. Ho Elef L'cha Shlomo. Shlomo HaMelech, you get 1,000. What does that mean? I'm not exactly sure. Elef HaKesef She... the garden is many, 1,000 coins. Umosayim, 200 lanoitrim espir, to those that guard the fruits. For you, Shlomo, you get 1,000. You own the garden. And the people who guard the food get 200. And then it goes on, Yosheves Paganim, Chaverim Makshivim L'Kolech, those that sit in the garden, the Chaverim, listen Hear me, hear what I have to say. What's going on in that case? So it's a very difficult pasuk not to go through now the pasuk shabbat. Let me just tell you two very short things. First of all, this Chazal Darsh that 200 here in this pasuk is relative to 1,000. Opens up a whole new insight. We have 200. There's 2,000 for Shlomo, and there's 200 for Lanoitrim Espirio. 200 to 1,000 is a fifth. So 200 represents the concept of a choinesh, of a fifth. And in the context of this pasuk, the Midrashim would tell us that the Goyim, when the Mashiach comes, they are moil b'kodesh. Klal Yisrael is a holy nation. The atem tihin yuli mamleches koyim, the Goy kodosh. And when you are moil b'hegdesh, not only must you repay the value, you must repay a fifth. The Goyim are going to have to pay back Klal Yisrael the time of Mashiach, not just what they've taken away from us. They're going to have to pay back to us a fifth, a choymesh, like the laws of moil behegdish. And that's one very important idea which comes out of this pasuk. 200 represents the concept of a fifth, because the aleph base, the lowest letter is 1, and we discuss as many times after you finish the aleph is the 22 letters, you have 5 more letters, the man sepach, which take us 500, 600, 700, 800, and 900, and then you start again with aleph. Aleph is Aleph. So the highest letter in the Aleph base is 1,000, and Resh, relative to the 1,000, is a fifth. And it refers to this idea. Now another idea is, there's a very cute little Jush, that a person is mechuyif to say every single day 100 brachas. The Gemara says a bracha is worth 10 coins. 10 zuzin. That's what the Gemara says. You want to go, if you want to bench, how much do you have to pay for benching? $40. The schutz, because benching, there are 4 brachas. Each bracha is 10 coins. 10 coins. Benching is worth $40 to lead the benching. It's a Gemara, 40 coins. How many brachas do you say a day? 100 brachas. What is 100 times 10? 1,000. Ha'elef l'cha shlama. Every single day, you're worth $1,000. $1,000. Problem is Shabbos. On Shabbos, you don't daven the long Shemona Esrei. Only 7 brachas. So you're missing brachas. What do you do on Shabbos? So you make the calculation, you only have on Shabbos 80 brachas. You're short 20 brachas. You can't make a calculation now. It's way over time. But you make a calculation, you're short 20 brachas. What do you do when you're short 20? What do you do short 20 brachas? It says in the Ramah, you have to eat fruit. Eat fruit. And if that's not enough, listen to the brachas of the Haftorah. So that's what it says over here. But what about on Shabbos? On Shabbos, you're short 20 brachas. 20 times 10 is 200. Umasayim! The 200 brachas, the 200 coins, lanoitrim espirio, those that watch the fruit, who eat fruit. And then if you don't have enough, listen to the brachas of the Haftorah. Hayosheves ba'ganim, if you sit in the gan refers to the Beis Medrash. Chaverim makshivim l'koilei chashmini, listen carefully to the brachas of the Haftorah to be mashlem the 200 brachas. Okay, I'm sorry, I can't be over time. Have a wonderful day. The 20th letter of the Aleph Beis is the letter Resh.